Well, social translation is something that's existed, well, probably forever. It's just someone translating a piece of information or a piece of conversation for somebody else. But because of the web and the network's architecture of the web, it's really taken up a new meaning in that a lot of languages that weren't represented on the internet before are now, a lot of content is going across different linguistic borders. So rather than having regular physical geography on the internet, I think mostly what separates us is just the languages that we speak. You see that there's a lot of communication, for example, between Latin America and Spain because they speak the same language, but very little between Latin America and Taiwan. So at Global Voices, we try to do a lot of translation of blogging to try to create, to try to bridge those divides so that there is more communication between countries and communities that speak different languages.
So when someone's not getting paid to do a translation, what sort of incentives do they need?
I think being part of a community is a big aspect. And another is just spreading information and arts and beauty and culture that people like. I mean, there's a big industry. It's not an industry because no one's getting paid for it, but a big community of people who translate, for example, the television show Lost here in Italy. There's actually a very big underground community where they'll put subtitles on each of the Lost shows and then redistribute it via BitTorrent just because they think it's a great show and they want to share it with others who don't speak English so aren't able to understand it.
And outside of Global Voices, which a lot of people would know, and that's a very large social translation project, what are some other examples that you could point to that are doing some innovative things with translation?
Midan is a very interesting project in that it's a hybrid model that uses both computer translation and also human translation. And it bridges conversations between Arabic and English. It focuses on what they call events. So they'll look at a certain event that's happening in the Middle East, and then they'll have a conversation that takes place in both Arabic and English. Each comment, there's kind of two columns, and you have the conversation in English and the conversation in Arabic. So whichever you read, you can focus on that side. Another one is Yiyan, which was shut down for a couple months, but is now active again in China. And that imports a lot of content from the English language blogosphere and English language news sources into China, into Chinese. And let's see, there's also TED to China, which put subtitles on TED videos, and it was actually the first time that anyone did this. TED liked the idea so much that they didn't just say that it's okay that these people translate it into Chinese, but they actually created their own whole platform so that people could translate TED videos into any language.
What sort of changes are you also seeing with social media playing a greater role, for instance, in distribution of translated material that people just might not be aware of, but are recommended from people in their network?
I think the recent protests in Kyrgyzstan, the so-called Blood Tulip Revolution, is really a good example in that if that had happened 10 years ago, maybe they would have flown in a reporter or two to do some basic coverage, and perhaps some of it would have gotten in some newspapers. But for the first time, really, I think, I mean, this didn't take place in the 2006 revolution in Kyrgyzstan, you were able to hear directly from Kyrgyz voices. You had Kyrgyz bloggers out there. They were writing content in Russian and in English, and it's spread. I think that we're hearing from people in places that normally just weren't news stories before.
What sort of lessons can mainstream media learn from social translation projects?
To interact more with an audience, not to just treat it as an audience. I think most social translation communities are communities where information is treated as something that's passed around and that is contextualized as a collective rather than just a group of individuals who are there to broadcast information to other people. So I think, in general, interaction is a big part of it. A lot of these social translation sites use tools that have become very cheap. Most of them are free. The Google Translate Toolkit, for example, there was a university, I think it was American University in Cairo, that translated around, I think it was 10,000 articles from English into Arabic using this toolkit, whereas a lot of mainstream media organizations are still stuck with these giant proprietary software systems that cost a lot of money and cost a lot of money for support, too. So I would say venture out more into the open source software market, see what's out there, and learn how to use the tools.
And just explain to us what's happening with Rising Voices.
Rising Voices is a project within Global Voices that is meant to train communities where right now you don't see any blogging taking place, any podcasting taking place, to try to make the conversation that we see happen online more representative of the actual global population. We funded 22 projects so far. We haven't had any grant competitions in the past, I guess, 8 or 9 months. It's been difficult to get funding because of the economy. But just last week, we announced a new grant competition that's taking place right now, and we're looking for grantees. We're looking for NGOs specifically to work with bloggers in Egypt to communicate more of what they're doing and to have better interactions with their participants that they reach out to. And also Egyptian bloggers who want to partner with NGOs. We find that there's a big divide between the Egyptian blogosphere and Egyptian civil society. And with next year's election, which might be the first time that we see a new ruler, a new president in Egypt for over 20 years, I think it's really important that those two communities come together.